Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now to give you the opportunity to call and get an immediate answer to your question or to discuss the important issues that you face in life right now. That toll-free number, as always, 844-322-2742. Again, it's 844-322-2742. So welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Jesus Christ is alive, and that's the good news of the Easter message, that Jesus has power over death. He showed that through the resurrection. He has power over our death. You know, death is kind of a place where we live before we knew Christ. We were dead in transgressions and sins, and that way of life keeps tugging on us. But through the resurrection power of Christ, we break free and we enjoy this new life that we have in Christ. And that's exactly why Jesus came. I love this passage in John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's God's desire for you as a believer in Christ Jesus. He wants you to first have life and then have it in abundance, to experience the fullness of all that Christ has for you, his life in full. And if you're not experiencing that, there could be all sorts of reasons, just a misunderstanding of what the gospel is. We find that is often the case. People just don't know that Christ has more for them than merely forgiveness. It could be you're approaching the Christian life from a wrong perspective, through human effort, that you think it's up to you to live the Christian life. Well, you can't live the Christian life. We've all experienced that. We've come to realize that. It's Christ who lives the Christian life through us. We have to depend on him. And so when we learn to depend on him, that's when we can experience this life to the full. So we may be approaching the Christian life from the wrong way. We may just be trapped in a sin. We may just keep giving in to the temptations of the world, and we don't know how to stop. And again, we're trying to do it through human effort. So there could be a number of reasons why you may not be experiencing this abundant life to the full. If you want to know more, we invite you to call right now. We would love to discuss that on today's edition of Basic Gospel.
844-322-2742, or the short version, 844-32-BASIC. The lines are wide open right now, so take advantage of this opportunity, friends. Good opportunity to speak with Bob, Richard, and me on this edition of Basic Gospel. Again, 844-322-2742. Guys, a question from John, who's having a little bit of trouble understanding Matthew 16:28.
He's having trouble understanding that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he would like you to explain it.
Okay. Well, we're gonna do that as soon as we get over there to Matthew 16.
I realize that was a little quick. Yes.
Yes, indeed.
There is no answer. I'm sorry.
Yes. No, actually, yeah. Matthew 16:28 says, "I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." That's a pretty big boast right
it
there.
Is.
I mean, that's
terrific.
A big claim that Jesus makes. And if he makes it, it's obviously going to come true. I mean, whatever he said, it's truth. So we can count on that. So how was this fulfilled? Did this actually happen?
It actually did. And the problem here for understanding is that there's a chapter break. If you keep reading, chapter 17 starts with, "After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them." And that is them seeing the kingdom of God. He hadn't died yet. He hadn't raised from the dead yet. But they were given this glimpse, just as he said at the end of the previous chapter.
Yes. And I love God's voice said during that moment,
yes.
"This is my son, listen to him." That's God's message to each and every mm-hmm. one of us. So that is the kingdom. That's how we live life in the kingdom of God, by listening to Jesus Christ, by trusting him, depending upon him. And this new life that we have in Christ is really a life of faith. That is kingdom life, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yes. So that's what this passage is all about. They got to see the kingdom. They got to see Jesus transfigured right before their very eyes. We get to live the kingdom life through faith in Jesus Christ,
yes,
as we listen to him.
That's exactly what happens now when we get the Holy Spirit indwelling us when we're saved. We have this message in our hearts every moment of the day. This is my son. Listen to him.
Yeah. Yes, we do.
Well, keep your finger right there in Matthew, because we're going to come back to it in just a moment. And right now, plenty of open lines, 844-322-2742. You found Basic Gospel on your radio dial. We're glad you did. We'd like for you to be a part of the broadcast. That's why we're here live, so you can get an immediate answer to your question or get guidance for your particular situation. We'd be glad to discuss whatever that might be with you right now, 844-322-2742. And a question from Bruce, who writes to us from New York, listens to our great affiliate WMCA. Would you please explain Matthew 13:52? So I think it's Matthew Day today.
It must be Matthew Day today. 13:52 simply says this: therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. So here, Matthew chapter 13, Jesus is teaching his disciples through parables. And all of these parables are really about the kingdom of God. They're about the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. That's what these parables really are pointing us toward. And here he's saying that every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. You're seeing that the law itself and everything in the Old Testament is pointing,
yes,
toward Jesus. I think that's what this parable is all about. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You diligently search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. But these are the scriptures that bear witness of me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." So if they had been accurate teachers of the law, they would have recognized Jesus for who he is, and they would have come to him to receive life.
Yes.
Why? Because that's what the law was pointing them toward. And so out of those old treasures, that's what they would see in Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's one of the most interesting things. I have been reading through the Old Testament for the first part of this year. And I'm in the book of Psalms and just reading psalm after psalm after psalm after psalm. And it's so interesting to see how much of the New Testament is written in those psalms.
Yes.
How much of those messages that David was writing, it was really about Jesus. And you can't see that if you kind of go from the old to the new. You have to really start in the new and really get acquainted with all that Christ has for you in this new covenant. And as you get grounded there, when you go back to the old, you have the key to understand, yes, what the old is really communicating. And then it becomes powerful. That's when you see the treasures of the old, only in light of what we have in this new covenant that Jesus Christ ushered in through his death on the cross.
Well, Bruce, hope that's been a help to you. And John, thank you for your question as well. And friends, if you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, why, drop us an email. We'll be glad to address your question as we have the opportunity on a later edition of the broadcast. Right now, plenty of open lines, 844-322-2742. Time on the clock, and it's time for you to call, 844-322-2742. And friends, those of you on the East Coast, particularly in the Washington, D.C. area, if you're looking to deepen your understanding of God's grace, well, there just may be an event coming up that's going to help you with that. This year's Network 220 National Convention is coming to the Washington area April 24th through the 26th, and you'll hear from best-selling Christian authors like Bob Christopher of Basic Gospel, Andrew Farley, author of The Naked Gospel, and John Lynch, author of True Faced. And to register, just click the events tab at basicgospel.net and come and join Bob and Andrew and John in the Washington area and get a healthy dose of God's grace in your life. You can register again under the events tab at basicgospel.net.
Yes, you can. We also want to point out that we have a wonderful offer available to any of our listeners. It is a single CD. Richard, you and I explored the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ when I was a kid in youth, my youth group. The youth leader challenged us one particular Sunday night. He said, pretend that you're a lawyer and that you've been given the task of proving the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What evidence would you bring forth? And that stuck with me. From that moment forward, I've always thought about the evidence that makes the case for the resurrection, and the evidence is overwhelming. And in this particular CD, we examine a lot of that evidence. We couldn't examine all of it, but I think we bring out the key pieces of evidence, and we want to put that in your hands as a believer in Christ, wherever you are. I mean, in your workplace, in family situations. You're going to be asked about the resurrection. Did it actually occur? Was Jesus actually raised from the dead physically? That's what we believe in our hearts, but do we have a defense for that? Well, this is a CD that will help you give an answer to those who ask. And I think it'll be one of those powerful tools that God will use to help others come to know Christ in a real and personal way. Yeah. It's available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month.
And you can find the support link, of course, at basicgospel.net. Or during Central Time office hours, you can call and speak with our operator to make your contribution and request your copy of proof by calling 844-412-2742. Again, that number, 844-412-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go out to Livermore, California, and talk with William, listening to us on KDIA. Hi, William.
Hi, guys.
Welcome, my friend.
Thank you. I was listening to you discuss how, after getting to know the New Testament, you could see so much written about the New Testament in the Old Testament, and I just wanted to call and share an experience we had this past Sunday on Resurrection Sunday, where we were discussing the Passover in Egypt when Moses was leading the Hebrews out of Egypt, and how that Passover was a foreshadowing of the crucifixion of Jesus with the Passover lamb and what have you. And as we were reading it, we noticed that in the instructions on the preparation of that Passover lamb, it specifically says, do not break any of its bones, which, of course, is what occurred when Jesus was crucified. They were going to break his legs, but they saw he was already dead. And as it says in Matthew, this being Matthew Day and all, it says that was done to fulfill the prophecy that none of his bones be broken, which, of course, was from the Psalms, but it was interesting to find that it was also in Exodus from the original Passover.
You're exactly right, William. I mean, there's so many little fascinating tidbits and so many dots that, you know, get connected when we understand the full picture of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. We can go back to the Old Testament and see those dots being connected, and I think that is one of the, you know, key ones to understand that Jesus was the true Passover Lamb of God, that he is the one that enables us to have life everlasting, to be saved from the wrath to come and experience new life in Christ. So he fulfilled that perfectly, didn't he?
Yes, he did. And you know, as strong as I am in my faith, when I read that, you know, having missed it the first time I went through, I found it was very edifying, that I felt even stronger in my faith just by seeing this one little verse that was referencing something that I knew to be true.
That's what Scripture does. I mean, it's the best commentary on itself. It interprets itself. And when we see those things, as you said, we gain a little more confidence in being able to understand what the Word of God has to say, and certainly we're edified knowing that God revealed Jesus in all of the detail that we need to really have a solid faith in him.
right. Well, keep up the good work. I'll talk to you guys later.
Hey, thanks, William. Yeah, thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, we do. And, friends, you can call, as William did, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. My name is Bob Davis, and we thank you for joining us. And as I always say, we'd love for you to join us by phone because the lines are yours. That's why we're here live, so you can get an immediate answer to your question or your particular situation. So give us a call at 844-322-2742. In the meantime, question from Jane. She says, I hear lots of pastors state that Christians should ask God to forgive their sin when they commit one. Jesus has already forgiven past, present, and future sins, so shouldn't we just confess our sin instead of asking for forgiveness? It seems like asking for forgiveness means Jesus has to be crucified over and over again, but Jesus stated it is finished.
Well, it is finished, and that is the good news of kind of the whole Easter event, the Christ event, as you call it, Richard. He uttered, "It is finished." He bowed his head. He gave up his spirit and said, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." And his work for sin, or to take away sin, was done. And yes, because of that, in him we have forgiveness of sins. In him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. It's the gift of grace that we receive. So it's not something that we have to get ongoing forgiveness for. We have the once and for all forgiveness. It's a done deal. It's finished. It's complete. There's nothing more to add to it. So when we sin today, I think she's right. We exactly. just naturally agree with God. But I think we also have to agree with God that Jesus shed his blood to take that away once and for all, and that forgiveness is ours. So there's more to confession than simply just agreeing with God concerning your sin. I think we need to agree with God concerning the solution to that sin.
Yes.
And that solution was the shed blood of Jesus Christ. God condemned sin in sinful man by sending Jesus on our behalf. There's nothing more that we could do. That's one of the interesting things when you read through the book of Psalms, is David was well aware of his sins, and he brought those sins forth. He confessed those. He talked about confessing those sins. But he also realized that there was no sacrifice that he could bring to the table that could take away those sins, that if sin was going to be taken away, if his sin was going to be removed from him and he was going to experience forgiveness, that had to come from God himself, that God had to extend to David mercy. And we see that mercy fulfilled in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He has extended that mercy to each and every one of us. And we can say with full assurance, with full confidence, that all of our sins, past, present, and future, have been forgiven on account of his name. That's good news.
that is good news.
We are forgiven people. And so we still sin, but that doesn't change what Christ has accomplished for us. We're always in God's favor. Once we're saved, we stand in grace, and there's nothing that we can do to get outside of God's grace. We're always in his good favor. That's amazing. And yeah, that's made known to us through the indwelling presence of God by his Spirit.
Now, one of the big things that changed for me when I finally began to understand that I am a forgiven person, I used to ask for forgiveness almost as an excuse. I never had the ongoing conversation with the Holy Spirit. Well, Richard, why are you doing that? Do you want to talk about this? You want to learn something? Never had that conversation. I'd blow it big time and say, "Okay, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me." And then I'd go off on my own again. Well, under this new covenant, because we are forgiven people, it's the Spirit who is constantly working with us, saying, "Yeah, you did good here. Thank you for walking by faith. But over here, you didn't. Now let's talk." There's never any condemnation, but there is a lot of learning that takes place. It's because of the Spirit.
That's right. That's part of growing in
Not
grace.
Not possible without yep. being a forgiven person.
That's exactly right.
I know that it's true of all three of us here in this studio and the ministry team. We just have a passion to get this message out to more and more listeners across the country and literally around the world by oneplace.com and through basicgospel.com. And to support this ministry, friends, is very, very vital. And, of course, you hear Bob and I talk about the importance of giving just about every day. But, Richard, we don't get to hear your perspective on it very often. And once in a while, I have the opportunity to look over to you and give you the opportunity to share that.
Well, it's really very simple. We don't do this because we have to. Nobody set us up here and said, okay, Richard and Bob and Bob, if you guys don't do this, I'm going to throw you in prison. None of that. This ministry is an outgrowth of what Jesus has done for us. And there is nothing we enjoy better than to bring that message to other people. When you realize, and we do, we read these emails to you, we talk about phone calls we get, we, because of what Jesus has done through us and is pouring through us into others, are able to bring people to Jesus in a way that literally changes their lives. It's not because we're changing their lives. We're just telling the story as we've lived it. You know, we're eyewitnesses, so to speak, of a lot of this stuff. And so when you give to this ministry, what you are doing is actually ministering into the lives of other people. You're not ministering into my life other than through gratitude and all that, which is valuable. But the real point of your donation is that we get to be literally advocates on behalf of people who need to know Jesus. That's what makes this worth giving to. I guarantee you, we're careful with your money. You come and look at our reports anytime you want. Call us, ask us, we can show you how we do this. And as much money as we possibly can spend on radio and other media and books and those sort of things, that's where your dollars go, because those are the things that impact people out in your neighborhood and in my neighborhood. And there's nothing better than getting that phone call that says, you know, I met Jesus because you pointed me to him. Yeah. That's why you give. That's why I give.
Very, very important things to consider, friends, is when you consider giving and where you're going to put your resources as far as ministry is concerned. We would love to have you be a partner with us. You can do that by going online to basicgospel.net and clicking the support tab there, basicgospel.net, or you can speak with Billy, our operator, anytime during Central Time office hours, and that number again, 844-412-2742, 844-412-2742. Either way, a great way to support the ministry and to become a partner with us here at Basic Gospel. Well, guys, a question from Dana, San Diego. She says, I enjoy your program very much. I've been a believer since as long as I can remember. Why did it take so long to fully understand God's grace? Was it the Holy Spirit that revealed this to me, and why did he take so long?
That's a great question, and I think it just takes a long time for anyone to truly understand the grace of God. We're all in process. I mean, Peter tells us to grow in the grace of God. So what that indicates is that we can never come to the end of God's grace. We think we have, you know, it all under wraps, that we know all about the grace of God, and then it just extends a little bit further and beyond our grasp, so to speak. So we're constantly growing in the grace of God. Just about every theologian that's ever lived, at the end of their lives, when they're asked about a particular subject that's been meaningful to them, they all go right to the grace of God.
Yes.
So it's counterintuitive to us. It doesn't compute in our human reasoning and logic and understanding. So it takes a lot of time for the Holy Spirit to kind of retool our thinking and to get it to align itself with the grace of God. I mean, grace is scandalous. It's absolutely scandalous. Why? Because God is simply choosing to love us, period, end of story. There is no contract in that. There is no responsibility as far as us earning that or working for it or anything. God is just making a choice, a declaration that I love you, that I'm giving you life in Jesus. That's grace. That's grace. Well, that takes a long time to fully grasp. We're all in process. That's why we need to keep encouraging one another to grow in the grace of God as Peter did. That's why we continue to need to testify about the grace of God. We need to hear that story each and every day so that we can come to the point and know in our hearts and minds that God's grace truly is amazing.
And that's what you hear each day on Basic Gospel, and we are so grateful to the many of you who make it possible for us to be here day after day proclaiming the fullness of God's grace and love in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we're just about out of time. Remember, for a gift of any amount, you'll get that wonderful CD that Bob and Richard produced called Proof of the Resurrection. Well, until tomorrow at the same time, for Bob Richard and the ministry team, Bob Davis, God bless you, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.